talking to each other.
Is there an order we're sitting?
No, I'm waiting.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Hey, Alice, I'm John.
Hey. Nice to meet you. So, anywhere?
Yeah.
Alice, I realized you emailed me your information yesterday, and I meant to copy it down, and I forgot.
Oh, no problem.
If you could just write it out.
Yeah.
Just whatever you want.
Sure, I have terrible handwriting, but maybe I'll tell you. Yeah. So, what did I do?
I meant to just.
I think it's fine. We can send an audience in here.
Let's see. I just finished at the University of South Florida. My. Yeah. So. Huh? Successfully, yes. So yeah, I just defended my dissertation.
University of South Florida.
Yeah, University of South Florida College of Public Health.
Okay, in what?
In the Community and Family Health Department in public health.
Okay.
And as of next week, I'll be starting a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of North Carolina. Chapel Hill. Postdoctoral fellowship, and it's women's health, two studies related to HPV and one breast cancer genome research.
Yep, cute.
Or HPV, human papillomavirus.
And breast cancer research?
Mm-hmm. Separate studies, though. And then.
Has anyone showed up?
I know.
If it's not, I'll sit there when you go through that and sit there when I talk.
But whatever.
That's great.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Should I say what I'm deciding?
Or co-presenter, you never know. Could be the rest of our panel.
How many are we?
Can I squeeze in between you?
Sure.
Hi.
I'm Julia Cohn.
Nice to meet you.
Thank
Alice
you.
Richmond.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you? Hi, Katie. I'm Karen.
Nice to meet you.
So we have another speaker, too. We need another chair.
We'll have a rotating audience.
Yeah, we'll be all...
Yeah,
I think we're most interested in our own work anyway, so it kind of works out.
Hi, Nicole.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Katie.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, too.
Really?
Okay.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Nicole Medeiros.
Julia Cohn from New York City Department of Health.
Oh, nice to meet you. I know your colleague, Phoebe.
Yeah, she just had a baby.
Karen.
I think we spoke on the phone.
We have spoken on the phone. Nice to meet you.
Nice University of Iowa.
Oh, okay, good.
So now, were you connected with the person who had the poster yesterday?
I mean,
it's
a completely different project, but I work with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you know in a nutshell what that poster said? I could not get there. What did
they
say?
That they knew there were
some major gaps in terms of what they know, and the biggest area of learning was, and we'll get you
mechanism.
Those results, was that, but also side effects. They had the girl call and say, you know, what are their side effects, and they wouldn't know, or they would say things that weren't true,
okay.
You know, which
okay.
Obviously for teens is scary.
Right. Because were you the shopper?
She did mystery calls,
yeah.
So I'm talking about a different project,
yeah.
But yeah, they did calls, and so they didn't know the side effects, and they couldn't answer the question. She had the girls ask, so when can I expect my period so that I know that I'm not pregnant? And they just gave a whole range of things.
Okay.
So they sort of gave side effects that sounded like what you might talk about for other hormonal methods, but not this.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will follow up.
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah. Or if you have her card, I'll give you mine. There she is.
Yeah. I think
mystery shopper.
Anyway,
you can cut out the middleman.
Cool. I'm John Stander.
we were in a similar session.
She's the mystery shopper.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wait.
Did you do a first thought at university?
Well, I'll be doing research in health education.
Phoebe.
In the department, and I'll just finish my doctoral work, and it's going to start something where I have one thing to do.
We have a lot of hippie folks, and I don't know if you saw Jason Smith earlier. He moderated a couple of sessions. He's a big hippie alumni.
Oh, is he? Yeah. I don't know a lot of people there yet, because I haven't started, but
yeah, it's great
soon enough. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I like the MDH department, because I know a lot of them are
talking about student pharmacists.
What's that?
I was talking about student pharmacists.
Hi.
I'm Karen from the University of Iowa.
Oh, hi, Karen from Iowa.
Where are you from?
South
Florida.
Yeah, I'm from Tampa. University of South Florida.
Yeah. So you're going to be talking about what your students know or don't know?
Curricula in general.
Curricula. Cool. Across the state.
National.
Perfect.
No, national.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
the U.S.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Across the country, even though I said state.
No. Yeah, it's a curricular review and then focus groups to see what the students said about that. And then there's a statewide survey I did of pharmacists, but that I'm not going to be talking about.
Okay.
But what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about some data we collected last summer about what consumers think physicians and pharmacists
I think
should be providing in terms of access.
I'm excited to see how ours work together.
Because
the consumer voice was what was missing.
Yeah.
So that's really, I mean,
yeah. And then we just did a pharmacy survey also to build some data for an intervention we're developing. That was mostly focused on access, where are the products, what products do they have, and they lost it.
Right now,
and then a little bit of it.
Hi.
It's in Iowa. Yeah.
Cool.
And John.
Yes, there are any. I mean, who knows if there'll even be an audience. You never know when you're the last session.
I
could write on.
Yeah. So I've done research in pharmacists and what pharmacists do to impact care.
So I'm going to be talking about the New York. Yeah, they're going to be based on a project that we've been doing for the last 2 years, the third year of it. So it's, you know, city-sponsored emergency contraception education project. Yeah, and I'll be presenting some provider data also about knowledge and attitude.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. So that'll be useful to you.
That'll be
very useful.
Great.
So we have, you'll hear about it, but we have a national network of stakeholders who work on EC among other services.
My pharmacist refused to sell me EC, so I complained and got it fired.
That's illegal.
Why? Did he or she have it?
No,
they said they won't sell to a man?
Oh, they refuse to stock it.
See, that's a different issue.
So
but let me ask you this. Will they sell oral contraceptives?
Of course.
Oh.
Of course.
So if you're going to not sell one, you don't need to sell them at all. Don't even get me started on that.
Yes.
And I'm not saying they should do that, okay? I'm just saying be consistent in your value.
You're saying what's the diff?
That's what I'm saying.
What's the diff?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The diff.
And there's not. So,
right.
So are we really going to do our presentation?
I won't be interested in any of the
presentations. One person is going to look at our materials.
Right.
And
I think we probably should.
So,
wow. Oh, I have a friend coming, but she's going
to help everyone keep to the time because I just have these little 5 minutes.
Perfect.
It's just so sad that they put it at this thing.
Go slow,
I know. I always go fast.
I know.
My boss, who's actually the incoming section chair.
Oh, he looks good.
So you get the chair section.
There you go.
We'll probably see each other.
Yeah, that's really nice. And that's where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you from?
Chapelville.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wasn't born there, but I grew up there, so I counted as a local. It's a beautiful area.
And did you say you were a life vest?
Mm-hmm.
I only
saw
this
before.
Oh, my gosh,
yes.
I love that's where I started.
Yeah, and she works with me, so it doesn't even really count.
It's terrible that they put us on the
side. I know.
But at least we can see what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's true. And if no one else shows, I'm literally moving there so I can literally see what you're doing.
Like, well, I hope you have 10 people. I'm like, yeah, there's 5 presenters. I hope we have 5. 12:30 on Wednesday.
Terrible.
Everybody's gone.
It's reflective of the funding priority, I think.
What?
I don't know. But it's terrible that they put us here.
Oh, well. We should have given out free EC. Maybe they would have shown.
Rebecca should know better. She's got a thing about hormonal methods. Maybe that's it.
What?
She doesn't have a thing about hormonal methods.
Oh. Is that why we're last?
No.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know who Rebecca is.
I don't either. I don't either.
So she's the session planner. Actually, I think it all goes into some
yes,
big
we have
algorithm,
a baby.
And it spits out when you're going to be.
All right.
I count out too.
I don't know how it all works.
Half.
Yeah, maybe
out there with me. 2.5.
No. I'm sorry, they don't. I'm sorry, I take that.
No.
Maybe we should go into the audience.
Yeah, I will. If
we can
make
it
change.
Look like more.
Oh, you mean for now?
It's the last
to get
session.
Them in.
You can break the rules. Have fun. No, I don't know. You can break the convention.
Yeah, nobody's here in Club 34.
Okay,
so you're from there too?
Yeah,
okay,
sure. What time is it?
It's you have about a minute to go.
Oh, okay.
So many people.
I think we should just go ahead and just start on time and just, I don't know, unless,
just do
unless
it.
Anyone wants to wait.
No, I don't think it's going to be very packed. I'm going to go into the audiences so
yes.
I can pay attention.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, I think we're all going to do
that. I want to be able to see what you guys are doing.
I know, it's not a bad idea.
Maybe I'll give it another minute or two, and then we can start.
I love Rebecca here because I'm...
What is this, the arrow?
I know,
yeah.
I know.
You were supposed to add it
and
yourself.
I guess I won't do my Disney background with you
guys. Yeah. Oh no, you had to make your own slide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, do you have to just I got money to do that. I wish you did not.
Oh boy. Should we do it?
I think we should just do it. What do you
Let's
think?
Do
you're
Let's do it. I know, I'm first. I'm the one who knows who's going to hear, but it's fine.
Okay, I think we'll get started. My name is Katie Lavoie. I'm with the Institute for Reproductive Health at Georgetown University, and I'm pleased to be here moderating the session on Thinking Outside the Clinic, Expanding Service Delivery Options. I'm not going to give a big introduction, but I think we all realize that certain kinds of products and health services and contraceptive methods don't necessarily need to be offered in a clinic. So these pharmacies and other commercial outlets provide a valuable way to reach more people with services. So looking forward to these presentations that will hopefully shed some light on some of the opportunities as well as the challenges when we think outside the clinic. I forgot to mention that I have no relationships to disclose. And first of all, I'd like to welcome our first presenter, Julia Cohn. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. That was very impressive.
She works as an evaluator for the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and the Bureau of Maternal, Infant, and Reproductive Health. She previously worked for Planned Parenthood Federation of America and has over 7 years of experience in the field of reproductive health. I also wanted to say we'll do each presentation 15 minutes, and then we'll hopefully have 15 minutes at the end for general questions and discussion. So, Julia.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for coming to the last session of the conference, basically. Just want to acknowledge my colleagues, Phoebe Brown, Neonda Labor, Christina Yenzel-Butler, and Delia Easton, who contributed to the evaluation of this project. I'll be talking today about New York City's Emergency Contraception Education and Outreach Project and presenting some of the preliminary evaluation findings from this three-year initiative. I have no financial relationships to disclose, but have to disclose the, that I will be discussing off-label use, what's considered off-label use of Plan B, which probably is familiar to most of you in here, but I will be discussing that Plan B can be used up to 120 hours or 5 days after unprotected sex or contraceptive failure, and this is considered off-label because the packaging still indicates 72 hours, despite a lot of evidence for a longer time frame. And also that it consists of two pills that can be taken together after unprotected sex or contraceptive failure. And this is considered off-label because the package insert instructs one to take the first pill as soon as possible and the second 12 hours later. And there's a great deal of evidence to show that there's no need to do that either. So I am very lucky, we are very lucky in New York City that our mayor, Michael Bloomberg, has a great commitment to reproductive health. And so in 2005, he launched the Healthy Women, Healthy Babies Initiative, which allocated $3 million a year to reduce unintended pregnancy in New York City. And the initiative included funding for emergency contraception education and outreach, which is the piece I'll really be focusing on today, as well as other activities related to EC and family planning. And there, in the back, I put some of the materials from, you know, that some of this other funding has gone to in terms of pharmacy, in terms of pharmacist education and materials that I hope you'll take in and use for models if you're doing similar work in your communities. So through a competitive RFP process, three-year contracts were awarded to four different community-based organizations in New York City, and each of them developed new education and outreach programs around emergency contraception. They developed these projects to sort of grow and develop over a three-year period, reaching out to new audiences and training additional people. So just a little bit about who those community-based organizations were. The first contract went to the Center for Community Health and Education, which is affiliated with Columbia University and our New York Presbyterian Hospital. And they were awarded a contract to work specifically with school-based health centers around emergency contraception to make EC available in the centers and also to train the staff about it so that they are knowledgeable and able to refer for it. The Harlem Health Promotion Center, perhaps most of you are familiar with the Harlem neighborhood of Manhattan, and this organization works specifically in that neighborhood, and they were awarded a contract to educate teens and young adults about EC, also provide clinical services, and developed a pretty excellent social marketing campaign, which I'm happy to share with you, and if you want the materials, I can share those too. Public Health Solutions, which is formerly MHRA, was awarded a contract to provide EC in advance at its MIC family planning clinics and also to work with its Title X partners to train their staff around EC. And finally, Planned Parenthood of New York City was awarded a contract to work specifically with immigrant communities throughout New York City. And perhaps some of you saw a poster that they had earlier, which was about this very project. So we chose these because of their sort of different approaches and ability to reach out to different audiences and also to serve diverse populations in New York City. And so while they each developed their own projects and had their own flavor and their own style and reached out to slightly different people, the activities were across the board pretty similar. So all of the projects involved actually providing EC. We were able, with this funding, to purchase it and make it available to these centers. And this was a big deal because three out of the four programs previously were not providing Plan B. And there was also a focus on providing it in advance, not just on demand. Three out of the four projects also involved educating healthcare providers about EC. And they really, one of the key things about this project was that they educated both clinical providers but also non-clinical providers and gatekeepers to EC with the idea that really in clinical settings, everyone from front desk staff to social workers to healthcare educators to health educators really need to have accurate information about EC to really make the protocols and the system work. And all of the projects included efforts to integrate EC into their reproductive health care. Some changed their protocols and did training around that to provide advanced EC, for example. And others, you know, made sure it was included in their training and all of their educational presentations. And most created some new materials and did some public education and mass media as well. So given that the actual distribution of Plan B was such a huge part of this project, we wanted to really closely track how EC was distributed and to whom. And so each of the four partners submitted monthly logs of their EC distribution, and one of our partners is in the audience, and I'm sure she remembers those logs very well, that basically on a monthly basis gave us information about the age of who Plan B was given to and also the protocol, meaning was it in advance, was it on demand, was it a prescription, or was it actual pill packs. And since three out of the four also were doing some education with providers, we decided this was a really important place to evaluate as well, a really common thread across. And so we developed pre- and post-tests to assess the knowledge and attitudes of providers both before and after educational sessions. We developed an 11-item survey instrument, which was developed by the Department of Health but with close input from all of the partners, and it consisted of 7 knowledge items and 4 attitudinal, which you'll see later. We did develop two versions of the survey, one for clinical providers and one for non-clinical, which was really based on feedback from our partners that said, well, you can't use that language with, you know, a health educator, but you should use it with provider. You know, it's both basically clinical terminology versus non-clinical terminology. And unfortunately, that didn't really work in practice. What we found was, in the end, when they saw a group of mixed, you know, clinical and non-clinical providers, they just sort of gave out the non-clinical tool across the board. So we lost an opportunity to capture a lot of the differences between clinical and non-clinical. And you'll see the data that I'm going to present are just combined. And the survey was distributed to participants immediately before and immediately after participating in an educational session, which typically lasted about 2 hours. The data I'm going to present are unmatched pre- and post-test data, and they are from the first 2 years of this project. Excuse me. So first I'm showing EC distribution by protocol. First, I want to mention that a total of 22,194 pill packs and prescriptions were distributed to women and teens through this project, which I think is a lot of EC, and we were very excited about that. And this, you know, shows basically whether it was in advance or on demand, and whether it was pills or prescriptions. And in line with the goal of this project, you can see that the large majority was actually provided in advance, which means that, you know, we were able to make changes in these protocols and it was actually happening, that it was feasible. And you'll also see that most of it was actual pills rather than prescriptions, which we think is also very important because having immediate access to EC is critical. And if we can help women and teens avoid a trip to the pharmacy or provider, all the better. And this shows, similar graph shows the distribution of EC by age. And you can see that about a third of the Plan B that we distributed or that our partners distributed went to teens ages 17 and under. This is good news for us as well because, as we know, it's still available only by prescription for teens 17 and under. And so we really want to make sure that's a critical group that we want to make sure is being reached with EC. And you'll see that about another third were to those ages 25 and over. And we think that this mostly reflects basically the demand for family planning in general, but also the client base at our provider partners. Thanks. So just quickly to go through some of the items. I'm not going to go through each one, but I'm happy to share with these with you later. These were the knowledge items that we measured before and after educational sessions. And I've highlighted in red here, so it shows the correct answer, and it shows what percent answered correctly before and after the post-tests, or after the sessions. And I've highlighted in red here, actually here, all of these results are statistically significant. That's what the asterisks mean. But the red circles, I just wanted to call out some notable things. So the first is, as some of you may know, there's a lot of confusion around the mechanism of action, and we were able to achieve some good improvement on people knowing that EC will not end a pregnancy. It's not an abortifacient. But still only 77% were answering this correct at the end, and we suspect that this may be due to personal beliefs about when pregnancy begins. Also to highlight number 4, about the timing of use in the 120-hour time frame, this was also a big area of improvement. And number 5 was a major area of improvement. Only 35% knew that EC will not harm a pregnancy before educational sessions, and 81% knew. After, and this is really important for both providers and their patients to know. The 4 attitudinal items, again, I won't go through each item, but these show the favorable responses, right? So there's no correct attitude, but there's definitely what we want, positive attitudes toward EC and desirable responses. And so just to note the first one, the item states EC use by teens will encourage them to have sex without condoms or birth control. And we ask this because we hear this a lot, and we know that this is a concern among providers and among consumers and the public. And we were definitely able to see an increase in the number that disagreed with this item, which was favorable to us. And that also that EC should be made available to all who need it, regardless of age. We saw some good movement there. And again, as I said about the prescription only for youth, this is an important area for providers to believe in. So we saw that EC distribution in advance was feasible in a variety of healthcare settings. Again, I mentioned school-based health centers, also Title X clinics and other family planning clinics. And I don't think I mentioned that PPNYC specifically gave this out on their mobile health unit. So that's thinking outside the clinic. And we achieved statistically significant improvements on, most knowledge and attitudes on nearly all items. But of course, some gaps in knowledge and attitudes still remained. To acknowledge the limitations of this, obviously, as I said before, we started out trying to analyze clinical and non-clinical providers separately, and that didn't work out in practice, so that was a good lesson for us. Again, the pre- and post-tests are unmatched. We did not do follow-up evaluation, so, the pre- and post-tests were about 2 hours apart, and we acknowledged that, this doesn't necessarily assess retention or later practices, and that the programs and populations differed slightly. So I don't have to remind most of you that practical barriers to EC still remain in terms of the ability to for those under age 17 to access EC, but also the cost in New York City in particular. Plan B over-the-counter costs between $30 and $55, which is quite a hit for a lot of people. Luckily, in New York State, Medicaid covers it over-the-counter, perhaps in your other states as well. And, we see that provider knowledge and attitudes may indeed be a barrier, and we sort of know that that's out there, but that they can be changed. And even with a relatively short intervention, we saw some movement. So it suggests that at least for some providers, they need more information in order to feel comfortable with this. And we know, and I think we'll hear more about, that consumers need more information as well. So we need both efforts to educate providers, but also to, work on the demand side as well for EC. And that, this is a 3-year project that's going to end at the end of March. And with that, the funding availability goes away. And I think we're all sensitive to how funding comes and goes. And so sustainability is really going to require continued collaboration between organizations like health departments and community-based organizations, and really want to encourage cooperative purchasing and other things to make this feasible. And finally, just to note that we learned a lot throughout this project, and one of those was specifically in our work in school-based health centers. We realized that not only did they not have Plan B, they didn't even have Plan A. And that didn't really, that didn't bode well for really preventing unintended pregnancies in the long run. And so I'm really happy to report that with this knowledge, we were now able to secure private funding to work specifically with school-based health centers over the next 3 years on overall reproductive health care and birth control availability. And I'm happy to talk more about that with anyone who's interested after the session. And just to thank our fabulous community-based partners who actually did this work. I just stand up here and report on it and collect the data. They actually did this. And just to leave you with a URL, in case you're not aware of this resource, that was one of the tools that was created, which is www.ec123.org. And these are some of the posters, and there's materials in the back. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. As I said before, we're just going to take questions at the end in the general session. Next, I'd like to invite John Standback up to the podium. Dr. Standback is a health services researcher at Family Health International with more than 20 years of experience in family planning program research. He is deputy director for research of PROGRESS, which is a five-year